From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Adam Rohr and Brad Furman from the Lancaster-based songwriting duo The Pig Merchants. The Merchants released their debut album On We Go in 2012 and are cruising through 2013 with a ton of momentum. The two formed the band after sharing several shows together and finding common interest in using the gift of songwriting to help get through hard times.
I think the nice thing, and hopefully this comes across to people when they hear our music, is that, you know, we do write about some really weighty topics, and we don't shy away from that. But I think we also approach those things with levity.
Coming up, it's Adam and Brad from The Pig Merchants, and we're skirting the curtain with Joanna Underhill from Creative Works of Lancaster. Joanna joins us each month with an update on the Lancaster area theater scene. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. This week, it's time once again for the Launch Music Conference and Festival. Each year at the end of April, the Lancaster County Convention Center plays host to hundreds of bands and music industry professionals for a trade show and 2 days of panel discussions about navigating the modern music business. As the sun sets, the city comes alive with showcases happening all across town on over a dozen stages. The conference and festival starts Thursday night, April 25th, and runs through Saturday night, April 27th. There are way too many amazing performers to plug, so just go to launchmusicconference.com and check out the schedule for this year's fifth annual Launch Music Conference and Festival. The conference is brought to you by our friends at Moose in partnership with the Lancaster County Convention Center and James Street Improvement District. On Friday, April 26th, the Opera Lancaster free lecture series Behind the Curtain continues with a behind-the-scenes look at the Metropolitan Opera. Former Met Opera star John Derenkamp will share his insights from the performer's perspective. Carolyn Moody, former assistant to maestro James Levine, will provide insight to the office operations at the Met. The event is Friday, April 26th at noon in the Grand Salon at the Ware Center, Millersville University, Lancaster at 42 North Prince Street in downtown Lancaster City. This event is free and open to the public. You can grab free tickets at the Millersville University box office. Call 717-872-3811. On Sunday, April 28, our friends at Ruby Red House Concerts welcome Canadian songwriter Denny Gauthier and local Lancaster songwriter Matt Wheeler for a special post-launch house concert. Doors for the concert open at 6 p.m., and this concert is BYOB and a snack potluck. A suggested donation of $10 to $15 will be collected for the musicians. Don't miss this special international Ruby Red House concert, Sunday, April 28th. Link up to the Facebook event from the show post for today's episode on our website, and make your reservation soon. Seats are limited. Joanna Underhill is the Vice Chair of Creative Works of Lancaster. Each month she joins us for a look at what's going on in the Lancaster area theater scene. We're skirting the curtain with Joanna Underhill on Around the Wood Stove. Joanna, welcome back to the program. What do you have in store for us coming up here at the end of April, beginning of May?
All right. Well, in May, early May, starting May 2nd and running through May 18th, is Avenue Q at Ephrata Performing Arts Center. And that won the Tony for Best Play when it was on Broadway in the early 2000s.
Okay.
And it's like Sesame Street for adults. So it is about, it centers on kind of this young puppet named Princeton who's just gotten out of college, and he ends up living way out on Avenue Q in New York, and he meets this whole community. And so it literally is like it's on the street, and they sing songs about things in life, but it's all grown-up situations.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
They stay busy.
Out there at Ephrata?
Yeah.
I know. They don't slow down ever.
That's great.
But it's good. Yeah.
It's all good.
And now looking at the cast list, there's a lot of kind of fresh faces in it, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else do you have?
There's also, I'm really excited about this, Seven Sisters back after an absence, and they'll be at the Ware Center May 18th and 19th, and they're doing Eurydice by Sarah Rule. And if you remember, Sarah Rule's the playwright who came to FNM in February, and I raved about her.
Right.
This is the play that got me to fall in love with Hirsch. It's based on the Orpheus and Eurydice myth, which is Orpheus was the great musician. His wife dies. She gets taken to the underworld. He goes to the underworld to get her back. And the deal is he can have her back if he doesn't look at her the entire time their journey back to the upper world. And I'm not going to tell you how that ends, but okay. This is a modern version of it, set in modern day. But it's fascinating. Actually, I wrote down this quote from the New York Times. They called it weird and wonderful and rhapsodically beautiful. And I would completely agree with that. I saw it in New York and it blew me away. It's one of my all-time favorite plays. So it's only 2 days. The 18th is at 7:30. The 19th is at 2:30. Tickets are $25 and you can get them through the Ware Center. But I think it'll be well worth your time and money to go see it.
Check the show post for today's episode for more details about those two shows coming up in May. And if you're looking for theater camps for kids this summer, check out the Fulton Theater.
This summer, well, there's all sorts of awesome summer camps. I would plug the Fulton Theater because that's where I teach, and they have a vast array of... I won't be teaching this summer, however. Uh-huh. Not that I know of so far. But still, I used to do it. I love it. I see kids in and out of there all the time. Anywhere from age 3 all the way up to 18.
Okay.
And there are like half-day camps. There are full-day camps that go for 3 weeks. There are even just classes for the little guys that are maybe an hour in the morning. And if you just go to the Fulton page, fultontheater.org, and you click on the outreach and education button, and all that information is there.
That's excellent. We also have a blog post that features a lot of arts-related and creative-related summer camps. That's, of course, included on that. So I'll link up to all that on the show post for today's episode.
Yes. Well, and also I'd like to plug it, too. It looks like some of them look like they can be expensive, but scholarships are available. They have an excellent scholarship program.
Okay, good to
know.
It's
very easy to apply for,
and
they're
great.
Very generous.
Well, thanks once again for stopping by and letting us know what's happening in the theater world.
Absolutely. I love skirting the curtain.
Joanna Underhill is a longtime theater professional here in Lancaster. She is currently a teaching artist at the Fulton's Academy of Theater and vice chair of Creative Works of Lancaster. Learn more about the Academy of Theater at thefulton.org and keep up with our friends at Creative Works at their website, creativelancaster.org.
And I'm looking for something like someone just trying to stay warm. But the fire I feel is under my skin. So I'll float on till later. The shore is so far, far away. But I got the sun.
Joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the Pig Merchants. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The Pig Merchants are a Lancaster area band that has been built around the duo of Adam Rohr and Brad Furman. After sharing several shows at local coffee shops, the two songwriters decided a few years ago that it made more sense to join forces and play on each other's songs. The Pig Merchants was born, and they've slowly and steadily built momentum in the local music scene ever since. Here's Adam Rohr on what the band was like in the beginning.
Yeah, originally we were doing a lot of Brad's songs because he just had written more songs. I mean, we would do probably like 70-30, like Brad songs to mine.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. But now we just are kind of like writing together. So like Brad's songs, I would just like play, I would just write a part and play to it, and he would do the same to mine. And then it just, we kind of had to work on that until we started writing together. But like in the beginning, all of our songs were, we had written individually.
Yeah. Which for me was great because, I mean, when I write songs, I always hear more to them, you know, than just myself. And so it was nice to be able to have someone come and actualize some of those other parts. And for Adam's songs, I mean, I still am kind of surprised that I sing lead and carry songs when I carry songs, because it's just never my personality type. You know, I was always much more of a background guy, just kind of playing complimentary parts and singing background vocals. So being able to play with Adam was great because I finally got to do that. And yeah, I mean, we've gotten to the point now where we've started to co-write some stuff and are much more comfortable with each other. And I love that because you obviously, though, while you have control over things when you're just playing by yourself, you really miss out on a lot of that kind of cooperative song making that you get when you're playing with someone. And it's nice just the two of us too, because it's not 15 different opinions. It's just him and I.
Right. And I think that's why it works. I mean, we both have full-time jobs and I have a family and three kids, and it's hard enough as it is just to like leave them and go out and do gigs. But I mean, at this point, it's kind of like a well-oiled machine as far as like even like the songwriting and stuff. I mean, it's like pretty rare that we get together and practice because of technology. Like we can just send each other the songs and then we can write parts and do it that way. But now we're to the point where we're actually like kind of bringing in other members, and just for certain shows, like for these next string of shows we have coming up, we're going to have a drummer and another multi-instrument guy, and just going to fill in.
Who else have you played with in the past? Because I know that you've had a few guest musicians along the way.
Yeah, Jesse Porter, he plays drums for the Skeddies, their local like indie band. He plays with us. Kim Narcissi, she sang on our album. She's probably the one who we've collaborated with the most. Actually, I saw her, I don't know, when we were first starting, when the Pig Merchants were first starting, I saw her playing out on the street on her first Friday. And I had known her from the past. I knew her from a couple different ways, but I know I'm friends with her next door neighbor, so I kind of knew her that way. But I said, oh man, we should just ask her to play with us sometime. So we did that a couple times, and so we've collaborated with her several times now.
Yeah.
And
Molly.
Molly Swartz plays violin for the Ogham Stones and for Dave LaFever sometimes. We just really enjoy doing that. I mean, it's kind of like one of the things we love to do, just like bringing our friends. It just like makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah. And now that we've gotten so used to playing just the two of us, when we do have those other instruments, like I almost don't know what to do with myself when I'm singing, because I have such a good time. Because I'm like, this isn't just two people making this noise. This is now more than that. And I really enjoy having other musicians involved. I mean, I like having the core, you know, and the Pig Merchants are Adam and Brad, and that's where a lot of the creative force is coming from. But I love bringing in other people because they do things we can't.
Here's The Dancer and the Train from the Pig Merchants on Around the Wood Stove.
If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I pray that he'll find the life I live a blessing to
In 2012, the Pig Merchants released their debut album, On We Go, that features Adam and Brad playing a number of different instruments, along with a few guest musicians.
We recorded at the Attic Studios in Harrisburg with Nathan Horst. And I had picked him because I guess he was just recommended to me by actually by Brent Ulrich in the area. And he said, I mean, if you're willing to drive to Harrisburg, this guy's really good and his rates are reasonable. And we kind of raised this money and we had, I mean, I kind of figured that we had 3 days to just kind of lay out as many songs as we could. So, I mean, we were shooting for like a full length, but it ended up being like 7 songs. But I mean, I'm happy with that too. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean the process was just really fun and kind of stressful, but but I mean we're very happy with how it turned out.
Had you guys made records before?
Not in a studio. No, I mean that was our first time in a studio. We made. I mean we've both been in other bands and things. And
yeah, yeah. I think we'd both recorded.
Yeah,
but
we've recorded.
Never been involved in this kind of radical 3-day recording marathon that we had. But I mean, we came at it. We really both thought out exactly what we wanted to do, the instruments we wanted to play, because we both decided to, since we were recording, we could do things we couldn't do live, which was really cool. So he was able to do a lot more with percussion. I figured, well, I play trumpet because I played trumpet when I was in high school. And so we kind of thought out all the parts that we wanted to play and then came in and were just, you know, tried to stay on task and fit in as much as we possibly could. But it was a really good time. I kind of miss it. I wish we could go back and record again.
Let this one breathe a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm fine with that too.
And then you'll be back. The record really does sound great.
Oh, thank you.
And Nathan's work is, I've heard his stuff.
Yeah.
With
yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's just a really talented engineer and producer.
Yeah, yeah, he helped produce the album, and yeah, he was great. Well, he had a lot of great ideas. We actually reworked Tonight, the one song Tonight, because of his suggestions, basically.
Tell me about that song.
Well, Tonight, I mean, I have a spot in my house. It's like at the top of my basement stairs, and the ceiling is really low there, and so I get great acoustics. So that's where I normally just lean against the wall and sing into my basement door. And so most of my songs will just kind of fool around and then slowly they'll come to me. And so I had a riff and I had some rough lyrics that were starting to come. And I was like, I kind of like this idea. And I sent it to Adam. He's like, yeah, definitely, you know, keep rolling with it. But I couldn't think of a chorus. And then one night I was asleep and in my dream I was singing chorus to this song. And I just kept singing it and repeating it. And then I woke up and I thought, oh, that's the chorus to Tonight. So I grabbed my phone and I just sang myself a really quick voice memo at like 3 a.m. And then went back to sleep. And then woke up the next morning and then I was eating breakfast and I remembered, oh yeah, I sang something last night. And I pulled up my phone and I listened to it. I was like, oh yeah, this is the chorus to Tonight. And was able to finish the song really quickly after that. It doesn't normally happen that way, but I love having a phone because song ideas just hit anytime. And yeah. If I don't, you know, do something to record it, leave myself a voice message, record a voice memo, I completely forget about it.
Here's Tonight from the Pig Merchants on Around the Wood Stove.
Take a look around and see the grass beneath our feet. As we slowly fall, and you'll breathe the air I breathe, and we'll shiver as we sleep, if we sleep at all tonight. Say the end is calm like morning, and everything is green and blue, and you look at the sky, at the stars, and they burn out as evidence, and I've seen them. Tonight is way too long this morning. One more song, but I can't concentrate. And we could all work out all right
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Today on the program, it's Adam Rohr and Brad Furman from the Pig Merchants talking about their 2012 debut album, On We Go. Here's Adam Rohr on the song Waiting for a Word.
How that particular song started, I think I should tell you about that first. Brad had gone through this phase where he was just writing songs like out the wazoo, like two songs a day. And I'd be like, come on, man, slow down. I can't learn them all. But so he sent me like five snippets of songs. And he's basically like, okay, which one do you like? So I picked this one. And it was only like he had only written the kind of the melody and the first verse. So I kind of took that and wrote the rest of the song, except for that ending part, that outro part that Kim sings. Mm-hmm. And that was the point where we kind of really wanted a female singer for the album. Yeah. Kim was the obvious choice. So we gave her the song and we're like, do you want to write a part for this? So she actually wrote her own part to that song.
That's great, which
I love because we all three collaborated basically
on that song. And we were all kind of writing about different things too, which was neat. I found out later. And because I came to it from a certain perspective, Adam had something he was writing about, and then Kim worked her own personality and her own experiences into that last part. And so I love how it's three musicians and one final song. And yeah, I think it's just amazing because she does. She sings so beautifully. And we're actually working on another new song that she just recorded on, and I was there while she was doing some parts, and I was like, man, like, she's just, I don't know what it is about her tone.
Yeah.
It just fits. It's a perfect kind of female voice for us because we have just, you know, very unglamorous, you know, brutish men voices. And so when someone like Kim comes in and sings with her dulcet tones, I mean, it just, it elevates our music to an entirely new level.
It's Waiting for a Word from the Pig Merchants on Around the Wood Stove. At the Wood Stove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Wood Stove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Wood Stove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. And now back to the conversation with Adam Rohr and Brad Furman from the Pig Merchants. Brad's music has served an even higher purpose over the years. In 2007, his wife was killed in a tragic car accident. While he wasn't actively playing music in public at the time, he had always been a songwriter and was able to let his songwriting be a vehicle for working through those deeply challenging times.
I've always been a songwriter, and while she and I were dating, I mean, I wrote a lot of music while we were dating. And most of my music while we were dating were, you know, love songs, and that's a sound corny, but I mean, that was what I wrote most of my music about. And we got married, and it's because we were living in an apartment. There were people right next door, and I was always very shy about my music, so I didn't really play a lot while we were married. But then we moved out to a place kind of in the country, and I was really looking forward to being able to play because I had the space. It was kind of my, my environment. But unfortunately, about 2 months, I guess, after we had moved there, she was in a car accident on her way home. And passed away about a week later, and everything, you know, just changed. But one thing that I started doing kind of immediately is just went right into music, you know, because I was used to having someone else in the house with me, and now I was coming home just me, myself, and the silence was kind of deafening.
Yeah.
So just picked up my guitar and eventually moved my piano up to that house where I was living and just started writing. I think like a month after she had passed away, I wrote my first song, and it just became something that I used to get everything out, because you can't hold on to everything you're feeling, you know? And my wife had always said to me, she's like, oh, you should do like an open mic night or something like that. And I was like, no, I don't think I could. I don't think I have the talent for that. So when I did start performing, it was actually someone had approached me and said, hey, do you want to just come out and play somewhere? And I'm like, sure, that would be cool. And that's kind of how I started back in 2009. And the cool thing was, too, I mean, Adam and I had met actually at Kate's and my wedding in October 2004. And so that's how I knew them, because they had gone to school with Kate, high school with Kate for a few years. I think she moved when she was like a sophomore or a junior or something like
but
that.
But Christina, my wife, and Kate had been just in contact throughout the years.
Yeah. And Adam and his wife were really great at reaching out to me, because I kind of kept to myself. I had my family and very close friends that I would, you know, spend time with after Kate died. But Adam and Christina were great at just checking in and seeing how I was doing. And because of that, because of Kate, and because of Adam and his wife being so great at reaching out, that's kind of how we've gotten to where we are today, you know what I mean? But, I mean, that experience, Kate as a person, everything I've gone through since, it's definitely in my music still, just because I think something like that changes the way you look at the world, you know? Obviously, it's a tragedy, I don't want anyone to go through it, but it's given me a very unique perspective, and I think it's helped me to see the important things and to not get hung up on the things that aren't important. So
let's talk about storytelling. On we go.
Storyteller was like, I don't know, I feel like it was one of the first big songs that I wrote after my wife died. Storyteller, I was kind of looking at life as a series of chapters, and when things change, a chapter ends and then a new chapter begins. Having gone through what I went through, I realized that my time with my wife was a chapter, and her dying was the end of that chapter. And so this was me telling my story. And so Storyteller sort of, lays out some very literal things that happen. I mean, the song opens up with me remembering our last morning together and talking to her in the hospital, but not knowing if she can hear me. And then moving on and dealing with being alone and just wanting someone else to come along and make the pain go away. And then it sort of about halfway through, it morphs into the second half of the song, which is On We Go, which is sort of a phrase my sister would always use when dealing with some difficult children that she's a nanny for. It just said, on we go. And I'd started to write this song saying, you know, everybody knows that the world's going to end someday. Like for you, me, you know, in a small level, just things are going to change, or who knows, the entire world may end. But everything's going to be all right. And on we go. So it became kind of my anthem.
Here's Storyteller, On We Go. It's the Pig Merchants on Around the Wood Stove.
This might be the last time you hear my voice. I don't even know if you can hear me at all. Sunday, bright and early, waking up next to you. Midday, staring at the wreckage, saying, oh my God, everything's gonna change. Everything's gonna change. Feels like the first time I've used my voice. I can't even say what I'm thinking at all.
I think the nice thing, and hopefully this comes across to people when they hear our music, is that, you know, we do write about some really weighty topics, and we don't shy away from that. But I think we also approach those things with levity. You know, I mean, the fact that we're singing about them and that our songs aren't all, you know, very slow and morose sounding songs, hopefully speaks to how we've been able to approach these things in our lives, that we're upbeat people and that we like to have a good time, we laugh a lot, and so I hope that comes through when people hear us. People, one time we played a show and someone came up to us and said that we sound like the Decemberists but happy.
Well, I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
With this record and with your live performance. Looking forward to seeing what unfolds for you guys in the next months and years to come.
Yeah,
thanks.
You can find the Pig Merchants online at thepigmerchants.com or connect with them on Facebook and Twitter. You can also link up from the show post for today's episode on our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.